We're back. Michael Cohen, this is 1320 WILS. So now that the healthcare law is moving ahead, will it help boost our economy or put us in a deeper hole? And just how precarious is our economic outlook in general? Dr. Donald Boudreau is a professor of economics and the former chair of the Department of Economics at George Mason University. He's a regular columnist with the Wall Street Journal and the author of the book Hypocrites and Halfwits, A Daily Dose of Sanity from Cafe Hayek. Welcome to the program, Dr. Boudreau. Thanks for joining us this evening.
My pleasure.
CafeHayek.com is your website. Why Cafe Hayek? Why that name?
It's named after a Nobel Prize-winning economist named Friedrich Hayek, who's been a big influence on me, and indeed a big influence on those of us who support free markets and a free society.
Now, Hypocrites and Halfwits, the name of your book, does that describe our political leaders in Washington? Is that who you're pointing the finger at?
Well, most of them, yeah. Yeah, and not all, but most, and also a large number, but not all, reporters on economic matters. They typically get economics wrong, and not only just slightly wrong, but wrong in a major way.
Well, it's certainly a complicated issue to report on. Let me first get your view on the impact of this new healthcare law, the costs involved and the costs that advocates say will be saved for by having everyone insured and paying into the system. Do you view this as a positive step for us economically?
No, I view it as a negative step. This is, I think it's fantasy to think that this healthcare situation, so the Obamacare, is going to save us money. I mean, in effect, it's making everyone responsible for paying for everyone else's health care. And when you're responsible for paying for my health care and I'm responsible for paying for yours, neither of us spend money wisely, because you're spending my money, I'm spending your money, and that's going to cause costs to rise. There'll be very little incentive to keep costs down. That's going to fall on bureaucrats, and so you'll get pressure from ordinary citizens to raise prices. Bureaucrats will be put in the unenviable position of having to ration care, and they'll have to make some pretty horrendous decisions. We're going to get European-style, everyone living off of everyone else's dime kind of health care, and that's not good for us. It's not going to save, despite the administration's claims to the contrary. It's going to raise costs. I think it's a very bad development for the U.S. economy.
I mean, wasn't it just as bad or even worse to have these 30 million Americans uninsured going to our emergency rooms and increasing our costs and getting the care when they weren't even paying into the system in any way?
Well, no one argued that the system we had before was optimal in any way. It was indeed a lousy system, and there were lots of things that could have been done, and I think should have been done, to improve it. But we moved, in my view, in the wrong direction. We socialized healthcare provision even more. The step in the right direction would have been to move it back toward more market incentives, where private individuals have more responsibility for their own healthcare decisions. I agree with you. The system we had before was lousy. I think this is going to make it worse. Yes, formally, more people will be insured, but that doesn't mean that costs are going to fall or that accessibility will increase. I think costs are going to rise, and because of that, accessibility will actually decline over time.
So what are you predicting then when it comes to this law? I mean, how soon is the cost going to be too much for the government to bear and for us to bear?
Yeah, well, I think it's similar to, well, I don't know in detail. No one knows in detail how these things will work out, but it's similar to Social Security. It wasn't ever designed to be as costly a system as it is, but because of its nature, its expenses ballooned over time, and it's the same thing with Medicare and Medicaid. The actual cost of these programs today are, even adjusting for inflation, are far, far beyond what their original predictions were by those who championed them back in the mid-1960s, and there's no this is the typical course for big government programs, and there's no reason under the sun to think that Obamacare it will be an exception to that. There's every reason to think it'll be right in line with those previous programs whose costs balloon, and that, of course, puts a burden on the federal treasury.
I'm talking to Dr. Donald Boudreau. He's the author of the book Hypocrites and Halfwits, A Daily Dose of Sanity from Cafe Hayek. You can find him online at cafehayek.com. So what is your view on our general economic conditions? Are we at a precipice here where we could be falling back into another recession or even a depression? Do you think that's a real likelihood in the next year or so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't see things getting better within the next year. There's a great deal. I mean, there are a lot of regulatory burdens out there with the course of tax policy, the course of fiscal policy. The actual burden of Obamacare is uncertain. Investors are standing on the sideline. They have been for a while. And so that uncertainty and those burdens that this economy has been bearing now for quite some time, I think almost exclusively because of unwise and rash interventions from Washington, it will keep investors on the sidelines. And with investors on the sidelines, that's going to keep economic activity stalled. I don't see us getting out of that within the next year.
Well, it certainly looks like we're not going to skyrocket back up. But, you know, when it comes to Washington or even what's happening in Europe, there are these two sides to the economic issue, one calling for austerity measures and deficit reduction efforts, the other saying that the government needs to spend during economic downturns, and that time is right now. Why is that incorrect?
Well, because government can't – you don't create wealth by smearing green ink on paper and spreading it around. The history tells me, and I've looked at the economic history in these matters, history tells me that economies get going and get revved up when investors see optimism in the future, when their property rights are secure, their tax rates are not going to be excessive, their regulatory burdens are not going to be overly heavy, and then entrepreneurs will kick in. But just spending money doesn't correct those things. If you're fearful of high taxes, if you don't know what the regulatory climate is going to be like and you think it's going to be excessively burdensome, just government spending money is going to go into a hole. Another way to look at it is the government can't spend what it doesn't take from someone else. And so it drains money. When government spends over here, it drains money from elsewhere. And the record of government spending, despite what some people imply, is not all that impressive. What is impressive is the record of governments reducing the regulatory burdens and reducing tax rates. In history, that's when economic activity has taken off, not just because governments spent. When we talk about austerity, you have to keep two things in mind. One kind of austerity, I'm not in favor. I'm not in favor of raising taxes, but I am in favor of reducing spending. If you look at austerity measures in which taxes are raised, regardless of what happens to spending, it's true. In those cases, the economies don't recover. If you look at austerity measures in which spending and taxes are reduced, then economies take off.
Yeah, but those on the other side point out to the fact that even if you do reduce taxes, regulations, and so on, I mean, if you have a public that does not have jobs, does not have money to spend, that ultimately it's not there, the demand is not in the economy to actually kickstart.
Well, the trick is to get entrepreneurs and investors back on the scene. You know, entrepreneurs take risks. That's what they do. And investors, really good investors, take risks. And what we know is, what the history tells me, what the data tell me, are that when those regulatory burdens are reduced to reasonable levels, and there's a significant enough amount of certainty in the economy rather than uncertainty that we have now, investors, you know, they take these risks. They start these new enterprises. They hire employees. They create new products. They create new jobs. And that's what gets economies going. I don't think demand comes first. I think correcting the supply side of the economy comes first. That gets workers back in, and that's what gets you. That's what that is necessary to stimulate the economy. Just throwing money at a problem, I think, is sort of a rather childish way to think about economics, although a lot of people do engage in it. And I should say for the record that there are a lot of professional economists who disagree with me, although there are a lot of professional economists who do agree with me. Right. This is one place where there is no consensus among economists.
Understood. One last thing, the Occupy movement. I wonder, what do you make of that? They seem to have not been around very much this summer. Maybe it's a little too hot to protest outside. Do you think these kinds of grassroots efforts really speak to the millions of people who may be in the 99%, but are working and really are just trying to maintain their jobs?
Well, I think in the case of the Occupy movement itself, I think it pretty early on got derailed. I mean, there are a lot of things that the occupiers said that did make sense. I think that most people of goodwill and common sense agree with. You know, crony capitalism is bad. We don't want special favors for corporations. Tariffs and other special areas. But Occupy, I think, in my view, it became far too much sort of a early 21st century version of 1960s hippies. And I think that turned a lot of people off, which is why I think it really didn't get the kind of legs, it didn't develop the kind of legs that a lot of people were predicting it would develop a year ago.
Dr. Donald Boudreau. You can find his new book, Hypocrites and Half-Wits, A Daily Dose of Sanity from Cafe Hayek. He's online at cafehayek.com. Dr. Boudreau, thanks so much for joining us on WILS this evening.
My pleasure.
And we're going to just wrap it up here because we're down to less than a minute. I'm Michael Cohen, producer this evening, Jesse Wyza. I think we got through that slight little bump with Dr. Glassmacher.
Yeah.
And I think we managed to learn something from him. It gets so complicated.
Oh, yeah.
I was tempted to ask him to break down isotope beams a little more clearly, but then I thought that might just derail everything and leave us in the weeds. But it would be interesting to have him on again to talk some more. Obviously, a huge project in the Lansing area. But otherwise, hey, have a great 4th of July. We're off tomorrow. We'll be back on Thursday. Hopefully, you are off also, and you'll be out there enjoying the 90-plus degree weather or maybe sitting in some AC. That might be a little better. But we're back Thursday, 6 p.m. Thanks. Good night.